Hey guys, it's Damien from Marketing Food Online. I've got a really interesting podcast today. I'm going to be answering some questions, some emails that I've been getting from a handful of my subscribers in regards to creating a private labeled food product. And what is the process to do that? Like, how do you actually go about creating a line of products or even just a single product, but with your brand, your logo, your company information? And how do you go about from conception to completion to getting a completed product up and running, potentially for retail stores or even online for your own store, or even utilizing Amazon FBA? So I'm going to go over that process with you. I don't want to say it's super simple, but it's definitely something that anyone can do. It's just a handful of steps to follow. And once you get it up and running and you've completed a single product, then you can move forward at a much faster pace once you've actually experienced what it takes to create a private labeled food product. So let's get started. So let's just say, I'm going to use an example here. If you have a recipe for an outstanding trail mix, a granola-based trail mix, okay? Let's just keep this simple. So you want to make a trail mix and you've got a recipe for it. And it's great because that type of a product can be made in very large batches, or you can even create multiple batches at once and then get it bagged, you know, get it bagged up into anywhere from a 12 ounce to maybe a 1 pound bag, 12 to 16 ounce bag. So just keep in mind, I'm going to go over some really neat tips about how to make more money per unit through FBA, Amazon FBA. And another podcast that I'm going to break down the right package size, or at least the package sizes and the price points that have worked really well for my products, and see if they can work well for yours. So what we've got is we've got the granola, we've got our recipe. You can make it very easily, you can make it quick, okay, and you can make it in large batches. So, of course, moving forward with a private labeled food product, you want to make sure that you've obviously incorporated your business. You obviously want to also make sure that you've got your insurance, your food producer's insurance, you're in a commercial facility, and all that stuff prior to launching a product, if you're going to make it yourself, okay? And of course, that's kind of just a no-brainer. You just want to make sure that you are a business. You're not some random person that's creating some food product and hoping that you can sell it. Follow the steps, get yourself incorporated, get yourself insured, and make sure all your ducks are in a row, and then move forward with the idea. Now, back to the example of the granola. Okay, so you're now looking for what type of packaging can I put this product in? What you want to look for when you're creating a product that you're going to utilize either in a warehouse setting or something that's more specifically about like Amazon FBA, if you want to warehouse a product with them, you want to keep it as light as possible, okay? Obviously, you're going to have a set amount of ounces. You know, you're going to have it either 12 ounce, 16 ounce, etc. But you don't necessarily want to make the packaging super heavy, because Amazon FBA fees are based on a big portion, actually, are based on the weight of the product. So the lighter of the packaging, the lighter, the better, okay, in regards to weight. And what you want to go with is a dry product such as like a granola, or if you're doing mixed nuts, chips, or anything of that sort. You want to go with my own opinion, what has worked well for my own experience. I use a transparent 5 mil bag. It is a resealable bag. It is 5 mil, which is relatively thick. And the reason for that is that that type of bag will maintain the freshness of the product, but it also keeps out any moisture, any humidity, moisture, oxygen, air. You want to keep out the air from a product. You don't want it to spoil. You don't want a bag that can potentially be punctured very easily. 5 mil bags are relatively thicker plastic than, let's say, a average potato chip bag. It's probably about the thickness of maybe 3 of those bags. Now, there's a handful of reasons why I would recommend that. And the reason why, number one, is because of what I just told you about in regards to keeping out moisture and humidity and such. But the second reason is when it gets to the warehouse at Amazon, okay, it's going to be handled. It's going to be moved around. It's going to be put on shelves. It's going to be pulled off of shelves. Obviously, when a product gets fulfilled, a customer orders a product, they have to pull it from the shelf. They got to pack it. So it's going to, I don't want to say it's going to take a beating, but you definitely want to make sure that the packaging is durable enough that it's not going to bust open, because then you just lost the product itself. And yeah, you know what? You might get a credit. You might get a refund for the product, but It's your time, your effort, your energy, your resources that you're putting into the product. You don't want it to puncture and to be thrown into the trash, and you don't want to get a credit for it. You want to sell it. Obviously, the idea of selling a product is just that. You want it in your customer's hands, not in the trash can, and then you get a credit for it from Amazon, and then you have to send in more, okay? So it's going to be moved around. It's going to be handled. So the thicker the bag, the better off that is. And it's worked very well for the stuff that we've had. I've actually never had any issues with breakage or bags opening. So the 5 mil polypropylene bag, it's called, is going to be your best route. Now, I get that from uline.com. That's uline, the letter U, and then the word line.com. I've ordered from them for probably close to about 10 years now, about 9 years or so. And they've always been consistent. The quality of the bags are perfect, and you get them, I think it's 1,000 in a case. These bags, depending on the size of the bags, they're going to run you around 20 cents, on the low end, probably about 15 cents. So they're very, price-wise, they're very well-priced, very inexpensive, and definitely the way to go. So now back to the private labeling. So what you're going to need to do is, traditionally, what I've done with my experience private labeling my products, you've got two labels, okay? You're going to have a label on the front, which is your logo, your emblem, your trademark, your company logo, whatever that may be. That's going to go on the front, okay? And we actually, to save money on that, we actually print those ourselves as well. That's something that we do in-house for all of our products, and it cuts down on the cost. And I'll do another podcast, a separate podcast on that as well, and I'll show you a way that you can actually print labels yourself for literally about, we do ours for about 3 or 4 cents. I think it is about average, about 4 cents each. So then on the back, you've got your nutritional label. You've got the information in regards to your address of production, where it's made. You've got your ingredient listing. Then you have your allergen warning, and then your nutritional information. Now, all of that is broken down into we use a 3x5 inch label, and it's rectangular, it's elongated, it is vertical, not horizontal, and it goes right on the back. That cost on that one, I think, is around 6 cents. So we're about 10 cents in on the labels. We're about 20 cents on the high end, 20 cents on the bag, okay? And then your product itself. Now, when you're sourcing products, let's say back to the example of the granola, you want to source it and you want to find where you can either, you can actually get it pre-made, believe it or not, if you can find a distributor or a manufacturer who actually sells granola in bulk. And then if there's several ingredients that you want to add to it, you can bring it into your facility, add what you need, mix it up, and then bag it. The overall production, though, putting together a food product for private labeling, it really fit in a physical sense as far as bagging and putting it together and mixing. It's not that difficult to do. Now, the only trick to selling a product efficiently and effectively and making money is the promotional marketing end of it, okay? You could have the best tasting granola mix, let's say, again, our example. You have the best tasting mix on the planet. But if nobody knows how to find it, if nobody knows that you're there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your opinion about your product. It doesn't matter the opinion of your friends or your family who tell you, oh, it's such a great thing. If your customers and consumers can't find it, it's just not going to sell, okay? That's one of the reasons why being on Amazon, above and beyond the idea of getting into retail stores, Amazon is a huge, huge opener, marketing giant, where once you put your product up, you create a listing and you optimize it. You make sure you've got the right wording in there. You got your price point. You got it in FBA. It's ready to go. It's really a no-brainer. It's going to sell itself. And I've had great success. We win the buy box specifically on Amazon. I think it's 95.7 the last time I checked. 95% of the time. And I don't do any huge amount of research and finding out what's popular. I simply just, if I think a product's going to do well, I'll put it together, send it to FBA, and then let it go. But I don't send in 1,000 units at a time. I don't send in 10,000 units and then hope they all sell. What I do when it comes to private labeling food, okay, food is a little bit different, like I mentioned before. I will send in 12 units. Maybe I'll send in maybe 24 at the most. If it's brand new, something new that we're offering. All right, I'll put that in there, and I'll see how long it takes to sell it. I'll run my regular sales, my promotions. I'll do 10% off, so buy one, get one. So I do all the different ones to find out which one works best. But I'll put a handful of them in. And if it sells within a matter of a certain time frame, I've got a little bit of a equation that I've been kind of come up with for my products and see how long of a duration it takes to sell. Okay, and if it meets that criteria, if it does good, well, then I'll start sending in three or four for a dozen units at a time, 48, 50, 60 units at a time. When it comes to food, I really don't believe in sending in, many of the things that I do send in have a very long shelf life, which is good. And they're not heat sensitive. They're not temperature sensitive, etc. So they can sit there, for a little bit of time, without having the quality of the product, detrimental to the quality of the product. So I'll send in, like I said, after I've done my check, I've sold through a dozen or two dozen, about 48 to 50 units. Okay. And I do that for a reason. Freshness, period. Freshness, freshness, fresh. When we make our products, because the private label products that we do, that we sell, we make it. So from the time span that we make the product, get it into FBA and get it to the customer, it's maybe at the most a couple weeks. Sometimes it's less than that. If something's, potato chips can sit there for 3 or 4 months or even longer. When you go to a retail store, you don't know how, the nuts have been probably sitting somewhere in a warehouse for months. Our products literally have a span of time to reach our consumer, our customer, a matter of maybe 2 weeks at the most, maybe 3 weeks. And then that way I can just go back into my FBA inventory, check it. If it's low, I'll make more and send it out. Now, this does another thing. It's not tying up an enormous amount of resources, okay? When it comes to creating a private label food product, if I were to send in 1,000 bags of granola and it sells like hotcakes, that's great. But in the meantime, there's still 1,000 bags that are going to be there. And if they don't sell within a matter of a couple of weeks and now you're going into a couple of months, you have money sitting on the shelf at FBA that you could be directing to other resources, other things, So that's another reason why. Smaller quantities, turnover quick, refill and replenish. It's been our motto, I guess you can say, and it's worked very well for what we do. If I'm selling USB cables or electronics, obviously there's no expiration date. So I can sit there and I can send in 10,000 units or 1,000 units or whatever it may be, and then they could sell over the span of a few months. If it's a widget or if it's, some gadget or something that doesn't have an expiration, that's a totally different scenario. So it's not, you're not comparing apples to orange, apples to apples. You're comparing two different things. So if you can turn over a handful of units, but the trick is, what we've got now is nearly 60, we're on about 60 or 70 items in FBA, okay? Well, we've got over 600 available through our regular store that's not FBA. And so we're always adding, and then there's certain things that just don't sell well at all, and we just don't replenish it. We just delete the listing and get rid of it. So when you're wanting to do a private label food products, those are the steps you want to take. The only thing that you'll have to do to move forward that you may not have, of course, you got your label, is the nutritional analysis, okay? Nutritional analysis is, it's going to be the breakdown of the actual product in a nutritional labeling, okay? That's going to give you the nutritional breakdown for the calories, and you've seen those nutritional labels on pretty much every single package. And those are the things that you'll have to have done prior to. But there is an exemption that the FDA does allow that will allow you to label a product if it sells under 100,000 units a year and you have less than 100 full-time employees. You can apply for that specific product. Has to be applied for individually, by the way, with the FDA, and you can get an exemption on not having to have a nutritional analysis done on your food product. So I'll do a podcast separately and talk about that more specifically on another time. So all in all, that's the super basic way to get a private label food product underway, up and running, okay? And it's really just, it's not rocket science. And once you've experienced it, you've understood it, and you've done the process, and you've done the FBA, and you've shipped it out, every other one from that point on is going to be so much easier. You'll understand it, and you can get stuff out quick. So I hope that explains to you in a brief way how we do our private labeling food product. And I definitely want to hear from you guys. If you're in the process of trying to private label a food product and create a brand, let me know. Hit me up at my email if you want to just drop me a note. And of course, if you have any feedback for me on my podcast, please do let me know as well. And let me know what type of products that you're trying to do, or something down the road you're looking to do in the future. And you can send that information to my email at marketingfoodonline@yahoo.com. And I'll definitely respond to you and get to you as quick as I can. I am on that email every single day. And if you guys don't know, I do have a YouTube channel. You can check out my YouTube channel. If you go to the YouTube search box, type in Marketing Food Online, and that will pull up my channel. And I have about 260 videos up there right now. And I hope to do hundreds more videos as well as more and more podcasts to give you guys tips and tricks on how to bring your food product to market. So thank you guys for joining me for this podcast, and I look forward to speaking with you guys again on my next one. So do take care, and I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day.